Question! What do the spoonbill and echidna have in common? Their snouts and eggs. Hi, I'm Deidre, and you're listening to Weird Animal Facts
Explicit,
a show dedicated to the weird, odd, unusual, gross, and oftentimes disturbing facts about animals. Having worked as a zookeeper for over a decade, I get paid to educate families and school kids on the importance of wildlife and their homes. But this podcast isn't for family and kids. Well, I mean, it's for families, but it's not for families with kids. Well, I mean, it's for the parents who have kids, but it's not for the kids. No kids allowed. Because we will be taking a mature look at the lives of animals, and not all the stuff we talk about is family-friendly. By the way, we don't just talk about sex. I mean, most animals do have a sex drive, so to encourage their species' population to thrive! But in this show, we focus on more than just sex. But we are talking about sex today. Well, at least in one little segment. The whole thing's not about sex. Because even though sex can be weird, the animals of today's show are some of the weirdest you've probably never heard of. Or possibly even have heard of. The roseate, spoonbill, and echidna. And for those of you not versed in species of animals, you're probably thinking,
what the hell did she just say?
Those were real words that I just said, by the way. A roseate spoonbill does sound more like a fancy salad serving utensil, and an echidna sounds like an anime character or soybeans. In today's episode, we are going to discover what exactly these two weird animals are, and what they have in common with one another. Even though they shouldn't. But anyways, let's go ahead and get started. The roseate spoonbill. Confusing Florida tourists for years! Why? Because it's pink. It's a pink bird. And when you think of a pink bird with long, sexy legs wading through the marsh, what is it that you think of? The flamingo. It's not a flamingo! Nope! Spoonbills are not flamingos. These are two different species of birds in two different orders.
Kingdom, phylum, class.
Order.
Family, genus, species.
Spoonbills are in the same order as pelicans. Remember the episode from earlier? Go check it out. And flamingos are so overrated that they get their very own order. But we aren't talking about the overrated animals today. We are talking about the roseate spoonbill. And echidna, but first spoonbill. And for those of you who have never seen a spoonbill, let me verbally Bob Ross this bird for you. Picture a flamingo. Or I know I said spoonbills aren't flamingo, which they aren't, but we need to start in a place that you're familiar with. Okay, so picture a flamingo. Now, make it just a bit stockier. Remove a few feathers from its head so that it almost has that vulture look about it. Then send this bird's beak through a mammogram screening. Only the machine malfunctions and smooshes the end of the beak so that it now is shaped like a small pancake. Oh, also, they have bloodshot eyes. They're red. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The roseate spoonbill. Of the six species of spoonbill in the world, the roseate is the weirdest, as it's pink. And it's pink for the same reason as flamingos being pink. Wait. I think we need to back up just a bit, as neither the flamingo nor spoonbill are born pink. Baby, I wasn't born this way! When a spoonbill chick is hatched, it's white! And, kinda ugly? Baby birds are ugly, since when they hatch, they don't have any feathers on them, and they literally look like that raw chicken wing that you just pulled out of the fridge. As I said earlier, there are six spoonbill species in the world, and none of them are pink. They're white. In fact, if the roseate spoonbill changed its diet, it would probably be white too. Do you remember when you were a kid and your parents told you that if you ate too many carrots, your hair would turn orange? Or maybe that was just my parents. Well, a spoonbill's parent could honestly say this to their chick and not be the deceitful parents we humans have. Only it wouldn't be carrots they'd be talking about. It'd be crustaceans. Fun fact! Crustaceans include animals such as shrimp, barnacles, crawfish, crabs, and krill, to name a few. In the roseate spoonbill's case, they'll eat shrimp, among other little critters found in the marsh. Not just crustaceans, but Crustaceans are what makes them pink. More to come now. The shrimp that the spoonbill eats have pigments in them that turn the white feathers of the spoonbill pink. FYI, this is the exact same thing that happens in flamingos. Therefore, the more shrimp with pink pigments they eat, the more pink they become. Fun fact, there is some truth to your parents' threat of eating too many carrots, because eating too much food with beta carotene can cause your skin to turn yellow. That's like if you ate 10 full-size carrots a day for about a month. And that's if you have lighter colored skin. So unless you're on a weird carrot-only diet, you'll probably be fine. So eating turns the roseate spoonbill. I'm gonna say roseate wrong. I feel like I say it wrong every time. I wanna say rosette. It's not rosette, it's roseate. R-O-S-E-A-T-E. Starting over. So by eating, turns the roseate spoonbill pink. But how they eat is also pretty weird. Remember, they live in marshy habitats, and a marsh is kind of like a swamp, wetland, or bog. But scientifically speaking, there are actually differences between each. And now it's time for Actually Actual Facts with me, your girl, Ashley. Hey nerds, it's your girl Ashley here with some Actually Actual Facts about marshes and why they aren't actually swamps or bogs. And try not to get too bogged down by these details. And that, by the way, was actually a gnarly pun. Okay, so actually all three of these ecosystems, the marsh, swamp, and bog, are all wetlands. Just like how Brittany, Mariah, and Kate are all bitches, even though they're all different girlfriends of mine. Bitches, you heard me. The swamp is kind of like Mariah because she actually smells like a tree, and swamps are like forested wetlands. Like, there are actually a good amount of trees there, and she smells like one. Ew. Kate is like most definitely the bog because she's actually on this low oxygen diet that I think is actually making her stupid. And real bogs aren't stupid, even though they too have low oxygen levels. Take a breath there, Kate. Brittany, even though she is a bitch, is like a marsh only because the nutrient-rich product she uses in her hair, yet it still looks like a murky grass pond that a spoonbill would actually forage for food in if given the chance. So there you go, nerds. That's the actual difference between marshes, swamps, and bogs. And wetlands can be bitches. Like, actually, they're pretty bitchin' if you ask me. So next time, go on and do your own research, nerds. Like, actually. This has been Actually Actual Facts with me, Ashley. See you next time. Bye. While in the marsh, the spoonbill must eat. And we've already discussed what they eat. Now it's time to discuss how. And for all birds out there in the world, and there are lots of them, estimated around 400 billion birds. That's a lot of birds. And depending on species, their beaks are designed differently depending on what they are eating. Just like how you can look at a deer's teeth and see that they have molars for chewing, or a tiger has sharp canines for tearing flesh. Looking at a bird's beak can tell you what and how they're eating. Take the eagle. The sharp hook shape on their beak's tip is designed to tear the flesh off a living animal.
Oh, why?
While a parrot has a beak as thick as Nicki Minaj's ass for cracking open nuts. Hummingbirds have a long, slender beak so that their freakishly long tongue can reach the nectar inside the flower they visit. So then, if we look at a spoonbill's beak...
Why the hell is it shaped like a fly swatter?
Well, what do you use a fly swatter for? My guess is that your choice of fly swatter will determine your actual success. If you choose to use chopsticks to swat a fly, you better have Mr. Miyagi skills if you want that fly. Most of us will reach for a much wider item to ensure death to the fly. Having a wider beak allows the spoonbill a higher chance of catching food. That makes sense to me! And sure, there are many other birds out there that catch food via their beak, such as the heron, but they are precise, like Hawkeye's arrow as they go diving into the water for the meal. When a spoonbill hunts, it doesn't look quite as majestic as a heron or Hawkeye shooting his bow and arrow. In fact, it looks a bit more like a confused, blind old man waving his hands around for a glass of beer you just poured him. With their beak in the water, they will then wave it from side to side in hopes to stir up any tasty critters hiding in the muddy water. But unlike that confused, blind old man who is just going off of luck, the spoonbills have an excellent sense of touch.
Touch me.
The end of their beak is equipped with receptors, which can detect vibrations in the water, meaning that, in a way, their beak can see underwater. Oh, and they have great reflexes. Whatcha! And this cool fun fact is one of the similar things with the echidna. Also, eggs. We're not going to talk about eggs with a spoonbill because it's a bird and we know birds lay eggs, but stay tuned because we can't get too carried away because we have something else we need to do first.
Scientific names are hard.
For those of you just joining us, the way this segment works is I ask my roommate Emily to write down on a sheet of paper the scientific name of the animal in question. Now, I have not read the scientific name. Also, I'm not very good at reading scientific names. So, we're going to go ahead and give it a good old college try. This is the roseate spoonbill. Platalea ajaja. Platalea ajaja. Platalea ajaja. Ajaja. That's it.
It's the transition song from going to one topic to the next. It's the transition song so that we have no awkward silence.
Echidna, also known as the spiny anteater. If there ever was an animal more perfect for this show, I need to know about it. Until then, may I introduce to you one of the weirdest animals of the world. From Australia, it's the echidna. For those of you not versed in the weirdness of weird animals of the world, the echidna is an animal that appears as though Mother Nature and God couldn't agree on what to do with it, or they just didn't give a fuck. Maybe even both. Who knows? With the spines of a hedgehog, a duckbill-like snout, with pig-like nostrils on the end, a kangaroo pouch, and on top of all of that confusion, as if the animals of Australia, Tasmania, and New Guinea weren't weird enough as is already. Between the prehistoric frightening giant bird of the cassowary to the cube-shitting fecal of the wombat, the echidna's oddities almost fit in so perfectly with the misfits of the animals from Down Under. Yet the echidna does take the lead as one of the most weird animals of the world. Mainly because it's a mammal, and it lays eggs. As does its closest relative, who is also from Australia, the platypus. What? What? No, they lay eggs? No. That can't be, no. I was told mammals don't lay eggs. That's birds or reptiles. They lay eggs, not mammals. What is happening? That's not the rule. Mammals don't lay eggs. It can't be true. How can it be true? I've been lied to! My entire childhood was a lie! Mammals are supposed to give live birth. How can this be so? I don't understand. I thought I knew so much. How? Why? It's not possible. It's a mammal. It's a mammal. What? What is a mammal? What even is a mammal? I don't even know anymore. Is everything I know wrong? No, just breathe. It will be okay. As there's always somebody out there who has to break the rules. And in the case for the qualifications for being a mammal, the echidna and platypus are the rebels.
And now it's time for...
Why, it's a mammal!
Put 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How do mammals breathe?
With lungs, they breathe air.
Correct. Are mammals warm-blooded or cold-blooded? Warm-blooded. Correct. How do baby mammals enter the world?
through live birth.
No!
No, stop the show! It's a lie! It's a lie! It's a lie! Don't believe what the media is telling you! That not all mammals give live birth! It's a lie! It's a lie! They're selling you lies! Lies!
Get that person out of here!
You
get
can't tell me I'm wrong! Not all mammals give birth! It's a conspiracy!
Keep walking! Get out of here! I don't want to hear it! Keep going!
Lies. Believe in the Buddha tree!
We are currently experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by, and our regularly scheduled program will return shortly. Thank you for your patience.
Okay, so most mammals give live birth. We know that. While montatremes lay eggs. That's their order. While marsupials, like kangaroos and opossums, also have pouches, they're in a different order. The order of Diprotodontia? 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 I don't know how to say it. By the way, the word marsupial is an infra-class. Infra-class. It's like a little subsection of the mammalia class. Remember the song? Let's cut to that song.
Kingdom, phylum, class.
Order.
Family, genus, species.
Hey kids, have you ever wondered why the heck Deidre wastes your time by making you sit through her poorly attempting to pronounce scientific terms? It's because those stupid words that she can't say worth shit help scientists, Mother Nature, God, and you to organize the family tree of animals. Think of all the animals like their own book. Let's say birds are romance, mammals are self-help books, reptiles magna, and invertebrates historical texts. In order for you to find Calvin and Hobbes, you better hope your library's catalog system is up to snuff. Otherwise, you may be looking at livestock cooking books in the action VHS section. And that's enough to make anyone mad. The taxonomy classification of animals is like if Maria Kondo came in and put every animal into their proper place. That's why Deidre will continue to waste your time by attempting to say sciencey terms that she cannot say. Back to the show! The size of the echidna egg is about that of a grape, and it's a leathery egg similar to that of a snake. While some snakes, like the Woma python in the first episode, if you remember, will hold their eggs inside their body until it's time to hatch, given the appearance of live birth, when it's not. Other reptiles will just lay their eggs for Baby Yoda to come over and scarf them all down. The echidna does something in between these two techniques. Yes, they will lay an egg, but if you'll recall, they also have a pouch. It comes with pockets. I just love this new echidna. It comes with pockets. Once the egg is laid, they turn into the Mandalorian and shove that egg into the pouch until it's time to hatch. And if you think that's weird, we're just getting started. One defining feature that categorizes an animal as a mammal is that the mothers produce milk for their young. The echidna is no different in this regard, but, and there's always a but when it comes to the echidna, but how their babies get the milk is the weird part. Alright, so I want you to go ahead and think about a baby cow. Fun fact, baby cows are called calves. When that baby cow, or calf, wants milk, it goes over to the mama's teat and suckles away. The teat is the tit, nipple, udder, or mammary gland. Technically, it's the mammary gland that all female mammals have in common. And most mammals have nipples! I have nipples. You probably have nipples. However, the female nipples are what give the baby their milk. And most mammals have nipples that can be milked like the mama cow's udder. For example, if you think about a kangaroo, they've got a pouch. When that little tiny jelly bean of a baby finds its way into the pouch, there are nipples inside that pouch. But! And here is the echidna's butt. Inside the pouch of the mama echidna, there are no nipples. There's no tit. There's not even an udder. But there's hair! And at the base of the hair are glands. Alright, when you think of glands, think of like your sweat glands, right? And we have more sweat glands in certain parts of our body than others. We've got more sweat glands in our armpits than we do on our elbow. Right? And inside the echidna's pouch, there are two patches of fur, or hair. And at the base of those hairs are glands, like the sweat glands in your armpit. Only it's not sweat in the echidna's pouch, it's a milk gland, or technically a mammary gland. And instead of a nipple, the baby suckles at the hair as the milk secretes from the glands and drips down the hair into the baby's cute little mouth. That's how the mama gives their milk babies. No, that's how the mama gives their baby milk. Through the hair. They're mammary glands, but not nipples. Just the glands, like sweat glands. But in the pouch, on hair, and they suckle away at the hair. Just imagine sucking hair. Sucking hair. Sucking hair. From the glands. Or this milk. You suck hair. Almost sucking the skin, because it's not long hair. Sucking hair, milk, skin. Ugh, this sounds gross. I'm going to stop, because I'm not on the script anymore, and I'm crazy. Hold it! You said that the echidna has hair like a hedgehog. Last time I checked, hedgehogs have spikes. How the hell is that mama echidna tolerating a needle-covered infant in her fleshy pocket? Easy. The babies don't hatch with spikes. Just like my younger sister, it will take a while for all that hair to grow in. About 50 days or so. And unlike my parents, who decided to keep my sister near and dear to their hearts, once her hair grew in, the mama echidna will leave their baby in a long, dark tunnel or burrow. But don't worry, she will return occasionally. After all, when your baby comes with its own armor, there's not much protecting mama really has to do. Fun fact! The spines in the echidna are different from that of the North American porcupine. Remember that episode from earlier? Yeah, it was the really weird one that you probably turned off during the porcupine porn part. But you can suffer through it, it's okay. Anyways, as you learned from that earlier episode, the porcupine quills come out as a defense when something comes in contact with it due to the barbs. Unlike the spines of an echidna and hedgehog, their spines do not have barbs on them. In fact, they're called spines because there are no barbs. Quills have barbs. Ooh. Double fun fact, a baby echidna is called a puggle.
A puggle? It's just a cute little puggle. Look at that puggle over there. It's a cute little baby puggle. Doesn't have any spines on his back, but they will grow in soon, about 50 days. Oh, look at that little puggle. Puggle, 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 puggle.
Phew, that was a lot of weird facts. But don't get too comfortable because it's about to get even weirder. And if you need someone to blame for how weird it's about to get, you can thank Alexander as he recommended it.
Thanks, Alexander!
Four-headed penis! Did I say it was going to get weird? Because, it is. In fact, we might even cross the line on the weird meter. Penises! Most of us know what a penis is. It's the male joystick hose that is used to fertilize the eggs that are hiding up inside the female's lady business. Ow, ow. Mammal penises, like the one belonging to your last random Tinder date, has one head on the end of the shaft. But imagine if when that Tinderella man dropped his drawers and there were four heads. Alright, and I'm not talking about like four hoses, okay? It's not like a spaghetti festival down there, alright? It's one shaft with four holes. Like the massage setting on your shower head. And have you ever played with your shower head before? And I don't mean like that, okay? What I'm talking about is when you have the shower head and you have it on the massage setting, the water is coming out of four holes. So what do? You want to play around with it, not like that. So you cover up two of the holes. And when you cover up two of the holes, more water is forced out of the other two holes, and that increases the water pressure out of those two holes. The water pressure is increased because you're limiting where it's coming out of. You're limiting the holes, right? Less holes, more pressure out of the other ones. I hope that makes sense because that's kind of how the male short-beaked echidna penis works. Fun fact, there are actually four species of echidna.
Yay!
And later on, I will attempt to read all four of them.
Oh!
Alright, now one thing that's noteworthy is that the female echidna has a two-branch reproductive tract. So basically that means another reason why the four heads of the male penis only operates with two is so that the other two can grow large and can shoot their sperm up the right tunnel. And just like how you favored doggy style with Eduardo, yet it didn't quite fit right with Jerome due to the various sizes and shapes of parts, The male echidnas can use alternating heads depending on how the lady echidna's tracks are shaped. It's just like puzzle pieces in anatomy, people. I mean, it sounds gross and funny and weird, but you know what? This is the real life. This is what real life is. It's about changing positions, adapting, so you can meet needs. Or pleasures. Fun fact! Snakes and lizards also have a weird penis. They have what's called a hemipenis. It's two penises. Not two heads, two penises. And depending on which side the female is on, that's the penis he uses. Aren't reproductive systems just fascinating? On a non-sexual note, the echidna's nose is equally fascinating, and is somewhat similar to the superpower of the spoonbill's sensors on their beak. It is known that the echidna has electric senses on its nose, but there's little known about it, because science, just like your mom and dad, have their favorites, and decided to spend their time studying the electronic sensors of the platypus over the echidna. And even though the echidna and platypus are related, I will not, and I dare not claim, that their electronic senses work the same until there is scientific evidence, as I refuse to give you incorrect information. You're welcome. Let's just say the echidna's electronic receptors work similar to that of the platypus, and with similar results and purposes of that of the spoonbill. But I will not insult you by giving you speculations. But the way electroreception works is that the world is giving off electric energy, and the electroreceptors can detect that electric energy. However, most animals that have and utilize electroreceptors are aquatic, like the platypus and some other marine animals. Which does make me wonder, if it's mainly for aquatic animals, how exactly does it work for our friend the echidna? Oh well, that's for a future biologist to figure out. So stay tuned. And it might be a while, because we're not talking about it this episode, because that has not been scientifically discovered yet.
Scientific names are hard.
Now, like I mentioned earlier, there are four species of echidna, which means I get to pronounce all four species of them. So I had my roommate Emily write down on four different sheets of paper four scientific names of four echidnas. And because she likes to listen to me suffer, she gave me, she numbered them out. So of the four, she told me to read this one first, this one second, third, fourth, because apparently it gets worse and worse as we go along. Or better and better, depending on how your outlook of life is. So let's go ahead and begin with the very first one, which is the Eastern Lawn Beak Echidna. Oops, this way. There's a Z in it to begin with. Zaglusum bartoni. Zaglusum bartoni. Zaglusum bartoni is the Eastern Lawn Beak Echidna. Moving on to the second echidna, which is the St. David's Lawn Beak Echidna. St. Deus? Or Sir David? Sir David's Long Beak Echidna. Is that David Attenborough, perhaps? I don't know. We don't know. Speculation. Which I'm not doing, like I said earlier. That's another Z. Oh, that must be like there. Kingdom Phylum Class Order. Phylum. Nope, my microphone's flying. Okay. Microphone, everything's falling over. Okay. We're still going. We're on the second echidna. Okay. Zaglusum Attenborough. I bet Dave Attenborough named this one. It's Dave. Look. Oh, this way. Sir David. And then inside, Attenborough-y. Oh, they named it after Sir David Attenborough. Okay, we're halfway through. Next, echidna. Western Lawn Beak Long. Western Long Beak Echidna. Zaglusum Burrigini. Burrigini. Zaglusum Burrigini. Okay, finally, this is the fourth one. It is the short beak echidna. Short beaked echidna. And I'm guessing since this is the fourth one, it might be the most difficult one for me to say. Drum roll, please. But there's no Z. This is a different one. Okay, it doesn't start with the Zagloplusum. Okay. Short beak echidna is a tachyglossum acleostus. Tachyglossum
Aculitus. Aculitus. Tacuglusum aculitus. I kind of want to cry. I am sorry for those of you who know what I'm saying. Or I'm sorry for those of you who know how to pronounce these words properly. And I'm just butchering it for you. I apologize for all of humankind. But hopefully you enjoyed it. Those were the four scientific names of the four echidnas of the world from Australia. What?
In this world of weirdness, I want to know the weirdest animal that you can think of. And perhaps that you want to learn more about on one of the future episodes. So reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, email, and or by leaving a comment. And all the details will be left in the episode description. Thank you to everyone so much for listening. And thanks again for Alexander for recommending today's topic. The four-headed penis. Dun dun dun! Dun 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 dun! Four dun duns. If you enjoy the show, then please leave us a review and share this episode with your best friend, even if that is your dog. Next week, we'll be taking to the deep, dark depths of the ocean and looking at a silly-faced primate. That primate does not live in the depths of the ocean. I really just said those so quickly together. Those are two different ones. Rewind. Next week, we'll be taking to the deep, dark depths of the ocean, as well as looking at a silly-faced primate. Be sure to tune in next week and follow us on Instagram at WAF Podcast to see pictures of all the animals discussed in today's show and more. Until next time, my friends, stay weird.